Hey, and a big thank you to our sponsors. Their name's Big Pipe. You can find them at bigpipe.co.nz.
But you've probably heard of them already because they're pretty much a massive deal.
Yeah, and if you've listened to any of our preceding episodes, you'll find we mention them every time, but we will not stop because we love them that much.
We'll keep banging on about them.
We will keep banging on about them, just like we keep banging on about this gay rights plan that we keep spilling our beans about. But here's two things. Number one, no data caps. You can use as much data as you want on there. And number two, no throttling, which means you're going to get that beautiful full-speed internet at all times, baby.
I was about to say,
so fast.
I love a bit of throttling, but no, it's bad. It's a bad thing for internet.
Yeah, throttling in the bedroom.
Throttle away.
Okay, we're very sex positive about that, but we're very internet negative about any internet companies that use throttling. Big Pipe's not one of them. Thank you so much, Big Pipe.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Hello and welcome to this brand new episode of The Male Gaze.
The Male Gaze.
Where there might be a little bit of a delay, which is why we couldn't say that in unison. But it was a valiant attempt, Chris.
We should not try and do that.
It's been a while. We're sorry we've been slack. It's because, I don't know.
Did you know? I have no idea if it's been a while or not. Like, all the weeks are just blurring into one for, like, every... It's just... life has just turned into this big fluid mess for me at the moment.
Wow.
So I couldn't tell you if we recorded yesterday or, like, last year.
Well, it wasn't either of those. I'm so sorry that life's turning into a fluid mess for you in Christchurch, although sometimes a fluid mess can be a little bit of fun.
Well, I'm kind of enjoying it. Yeah. Like... I'm just kind of relaxing into this new lifestyle because I'm quite regimented usually and I have quite a clear routine, but I like sort of shaping it, shaking it up a little bit.
You're a real shapeshifter. Who are from Christchurch, incidentally? Shout out to our favourite band,
shout
Shapeshifter.
Shout out to Shapeshifter. They've got a gig coming up, I think.
Did you ever go watch Shapeshifter in Christchurch? It was like the iconic New Year's is to go and watch Shapeshifter at Ducks Delights.
I would say Shapeshifter is maybe the straightest music I know.
I don't know if I've talked about this on this podcast before, but you remember when I went on that date with that guy that I was like, the entire time I was like, he's straight. Everything about him seems straight. And then we got back to his place and there was just never any indication that he ever wanted to touch me in any kind of way. And then he got out two beers and then he put on 660, who I think are like next beyond Shapeshifter in terms of just how straight they are.
That's 660. Amazing.
Oh my gosh. Don't forget your roots, my friend. And I was like, you can forget this one, buddy.
That's so funny. But I think that's like easily a very early sign, you know, my early adolescence, that I was definitely gay. I was like, I don't want to listen to Shapeshifter, Tikitane, Cora, any of that. That's
and
so
everyone else
strange.
Seems to be so into it. I was like, what?
Because you're always a man. That was a tune, eh? That was a tune and a half.
One of my friends did that for
back.
What was that?
We should bring that song back. What's up with Tikitane? Where's he at?
Oh, he recently. So Tikitane he's the one. He's from Salmon and Adabe. They wanted to induct them into the Musical Hall of Fame, and then he like didn't do it as a protest or something like that. He's up. He's
oh, that's
up
pretty
stuff.
Cool. The Musical Hall of Fame sounds quite gay when you say it. In
the
my
musical
mind, it's
hall
like
of fame.
It's like got piano key, like flooring and stuff.
Yeah, it's a hall you walk down and there's like a little girl dressed up as Annie who welcomes you in, and then there's like you go in one room and all these cats just like scatter, men dressed as cats just scatter out
men
of the way.
Yes, I love that. Who's your favourite orphan out of Oliver or Annie?
Oliver.
Yeah, he's sick, eh? He's got good street cred.
Yeah, he's not afraid to ask for some more.
Hey, Eli, do you want to hear this fact of the gay?
I would, man, I'm fanging out for it.
Okay, well, the UN, ever heard of them?
I did, but then I forgot about them when they didn't hire Helen Clark for Secretary General.
You blocked them out.
I was like, who even cares about you guys?
Well, their Human Rights Council have come up with a resolution condemning the imposition of the death penalty as a sanction for specific forms of conduct, such as apostasy, blasphemy, adultery, and consensual same-sex relations. So essentially, they want to stop the death penalty for people in countries where, you know, you can get the death penalty for being gay or being in a consensual same-sex relationship. But guess what?
What?
The US is one of the 13 countries that have voted against the United Nations resolution condemning the death penalty.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, I guess hardly surprising given the state of the world currently. But also, like,
yeah,
how is that even a discussion?
Well, like, their argument was...
How long do they have to talk about that?
Well, their argument against that was that, you know, because it was the... you know, as I said before, this is for blasphemy, adultery, consensual same-sex relations. It's about the death penalty in general that the US were like, we're not going to vote this through. But also, like, I think the death penalty is a bit bogus, to be honest. Oh. It's crazy that potentially you could be, like, stoned to death for blasphemy.
That's wild. That's very scary.
It is very scary.
It's so intense, the whole idea of, like, I guess it's all about, like, religious freedom as well, which is, like, such a bogus term as well, right? Because they're saying that, like, there are certain countries that are governed by certain religions should have the right to be free to kill people. You know, it's like, it's not really freedom. It's, like, persecution of non-religious people, right? I don't know.
Yes. There's, like, I think there's currently 6 countries where the death penalty is used for same-sex relationships. It's Iran, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Yemen, Nigeria, and Somalia. But that number rises.
I just
booked
tickets to all of those places.
Oh my god, that's the worst OE ever. Oh my god, we've got our OE planned. We're going to spend the summer in Nigeria. And then we're going over to Saudi Arabia.
We're doing New Year's.
We're going to do a bar pub crawl in the Sudan. So fingers crossed I don't get stoned to death.
Saudi Arabia only just legalized the right for women to be able to drive.
So
I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, so I mean, you wouldn't even have a female bus driver for your bus trip.
My Saudi Arabian pub crawl.
I never did one of those boozy bus trips ever. So I can't really, like, I don't really know the guts of it. I never did a pub crawl either. Maybe I should do one. Maybe this summer I should do my very first pub crawl.
I don't know if I've ever done a pub crawl. I've done a classic bus trip. Where, like, we were in costume, and in Christchurch, it's basically like you bus around to, like, Templeton and all these, like, out of town pubs, and then you arrive, everyone's in costume, you're like, woo! And then most bars you go to, they're, like, quietly watching a sports match, and you are the worst people who've ever walked in there, and they all just steer you out, and then you leave. And you
hear. There should be a rule in each city that you've got enough gay bars for a gay bar pub crawl.
You couldn't even do that in Auckland. There's literally three.
It's like literally just walking down Kay Road.
There's a new one, though. Okay, so the first episode back, when you get back to Auckland, we need to go to the Tin Room and then review it immediately afterwards.
Yes, I saw someone's Snapchats from it the other night, and it looked very quiet. But it could be early in the night, so fingers crossed, here's hoping.
I saw that. Was there, like, people performing?
I'm not sure. To be fair, it was someone else's Snapchat who was like, oh, look at this. This is the Tin Room. And they showed me their phone. So it was a very out of context piece of, like, news. I'm a very uninformed journalist right now.
Yeah. I love the idea of a bar you haven't been to before, though, eh? Because you're like, I wonder what it'll be. And then you go and it's like, it's blue walls and some couches.
They're usually the same. I like that people theme bars and restaurants now. It's like, oh, we're starting up a cafe. And you're like, what's the theme? Yeah. You're like, shared plates. And you're like, oh, for God's sake. Just give me my own goddamn plate of noodles.
Well, I feel like the theme is, and I didn't realize this was problematic until you and your boyfriend explained it to me, but, like, the theme with a lot of plates. So I went to Happy Boy the other day, and the theme is, like, Japanese neon, but all of the staff are white.
Yeah, it's so effed up. There's so many places in Christchurch as well where it's, like, the theme is an old Chinese alley. And you're like, yeah, but it's in, like, the heart of Christchurch, and no one here is Chinese. And also, why are you making it look like the slums of China? Like, it feels so weird. There's like an old cart that's like crashed into the wall, and there's Chinese graffiti all over the tin walls. It's like, ooh, we're having a cocktail in the slums. And it's so weird on so many levels.
Yeah, everything about that is totally, totally weird. Not to mention that the Mikado, which is like a weird, if you don't know the Mikado, it's like a musical upset in like, set in Japan. The whole thing about it is that it's like English, is it America? American people's perspective of what they thought Japan was like. And they wrote this musical where white people play Japanese people. And it played in Christchurch 2 years ago and was the most successful production that has ever been there.
Dude, it also played all over the country when the opera did it as well. Oh. It's pretty effed. That I reckon they should just stop putting that show on. There's so many musicals that it should just stop being put on because they're just out of date. And they're like, oh, but it's a classic. And you're like, yeah, but who cares? There's a reason why you should stop doing it.
Yeah. Do you know what's fucked that I was thinking about recently? I don't think there are any gay characters in Moulin Rouge.
What?
Like, it's got to be one of the gayest films of all time, right? And like, I guess that's the same. Like, Baz Luhrmann is like a straight man who makes literally the gayest movies that have ever been made. Yes. And Moulin Rouge, like, maybe there's one bit where like a couple of guys kiss in the background. Maybe when they're doing Roxanne and there's all those ballroom dances, maybe there's a same-sex couple in there, but not that I remember.
It seems like you've watched Moulin Rouge about 5 times more than I have, and I've probably seen it maybe just once.
Chris, I saw Moulin Rouge, this is not one bit of a lie, 12 times in the cinema. It's not what my family, because my whole family worked at a cinema in Christchurch called Movieland, RIP. It was a beautiful place. And because anytime one of us was working there, we all got free tickets whenever we wanted. And for 12 weekends in a row, the whole family would just go see Moulin. We'd be like, get on a Sunday, we'd be like, we're bored, and just go and see Moulin Rouge again.
I love that. I saw Chicago a lot of times. Oh, I think I saw it like 6 times at the cinema.
Chicago's bloody good, though. I saw Dreamgirls for the first time the other day.
Oh, it's a goodie, isn't it?
It is a goodie. Doesn't
Jennifer Hudson give the performance of her life? I feel like Beyonce is missable in that film, weirdly.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is, so she's meant to be... The worst part of the whole movie is, like, everyone keeps talking about how Beyonce doesn't have a good voice. It's like, yeah, like... All those actors deserve an Oscar for having to say that and make it believable. They're constantly like, Dina's not the one with the voice. And it's like, that's Beyonce. You can't pretend that's not Beyonce right now.
They've got to remake that movie and just set it in Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
That's all it should be.
Oh, it'd be so good. Did you know that they were going to make it with Whitney Houston in the early 90s? They wanted Whitney Houston to play Dina, but Whitney would only do it if they gave I Am Changing and I Am Telling You to her character, which would mean that Effie would have, like, songs.
Those are great demands. Oh my gosh, it's like, are you following all the Sex and the City shit at the moment?
Oh, I am literally living for this drama.
So am I. Nothing is better than a bit of, like... You know, like rich white women in their 50s sort of bickering on Twitter about work, like another movie that no one really wants to watch.
No, like Sex and the City 2 was, as documented on The Worst Idea of All Time, another hit, Little Empire podcast, one of the worst movies ever made. And it's very long and it's quite problematic in many ways. No one's asking for a third one, surely.
No. I mean, it's a wonderful, juicy bit of scandal that's going on. I like that Sarah Jessica Parker is kind of the bully of the whole thing. Yeah. Making Kim Cattrall do the film, even though she doesn't want to do it.
And it's very like wolf in sheep's clothing, like, oh, we all wanted to make the movie, but like one person like wouldn't let us, so it's really hard, I guess.
I like that Kim Cattrall's like, I'm 61, I don't want to do this film, I just want to sit home, drink, and listen to my husband play jazz.
Oh, full respect for that.
Have you seen the video of her doing scatting?
Yeah, I was just going to ask if that was her. That is one of the greatest internet videos of all time. If you haven't watched that, listeners out there, sometimes I forget that people are listening to this. Kim Cattrall, scatting jazz performance, YouTube, now. It's pause the podcast.
Amazing.
If you're driving, pull over and search on your phone.
So many times.
It's beautiful. Do you know what another... Just another shout out, because we were talking about Whitney just before. That girl who sings, and I am telling you, and then she's like, ah! and she screams every time she gets it wrong.
That was another classic YouTube. We should rename this podcast our favorite YouTube videos.
Classic YouTube countdown. I want to talk about a queen of the week this week.
Yes, ready? Please. I'm dying for it.
You normally choose them, but I'm choosing this one, Chris. So
Fact of the gay, so things are just swapping up.
They're swapping up. Have you listened to the new album by one charming young lady called Demi Lovato?
I haven't listened to her new album, but I was just watching her interview with Alan Carr, not too long ago, for Confidence, that album. The one before this one, is that right?
That's the old album, right? Which was fine. This album, honestly, you need to listen to it because she has arrived. In my opinion, she's like here, she's figured out what type of music she wants to make.
I think she's always been here to stay, but people just keep forgetting about her.
Yeah, it's weird because I guess she doesn't have... There's something about her that's not as distinct personality-wise as like Selena or Miley or the other people in her generation who are kind of coming up through the ranks, I guess.
She was on Alan Carr talking about Cool for the Summer and about how it's about girl-on-girl action.
Yes, love it.
And she doesn't like open... She does not deny that she's had like girl-on-girl time and that she's like, I'm just fluid and I just don't give a shit. And she was saying how... She thinks it's ridiculous that men don't have the confidence to be able to be like kind of openly fluid in their sexuality. And she says, she was saying how hot it would be if there was conceived sort of straight pop star who would be like open about being a bit more fluid in his music. I was like, damn right, that would be hot.
That'd be really hot. And you know who could be the one to do it? Demi's longtime friend and who knows possible
Nick
love and
Jonas.
Jonas.
Because you know what, Eli? My mind went there when I was watching the video.
Oh my god. Because he has. So there's a song on Demi's album called "Ruin the Friendship," and it's very hot. It's like, let's ruin the friendship. It's about having sex with your friend, and it is dirty and great. And it made me think, those two are fucked.
Easily.
Yeah. Totally.
They're very cool. I like that they did like a concert together. And I also like, she performs at quite a few gay bars, eh?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Which also Jennifer Hudson does a lot of from Dreamgirls.
True. She is a
good. And apparently, I need to look into this more, but Bette Midler, the beginning of her career, all started in gay bars as well.
Really? Of course it
does. Yes. And yeah.
I mean, that's probably, I'm like... No part of me is surprised to hear that information.
Well, Todd, who's doing Hudson and Halls with me, showed me this video of Bette Midler performing in like 1972. And it's wild. Like, it's her performance style is really crazy. She basically runs on stage for about an hour and just sings and talks to like a drum beat. She's pretty wacky. I actually need to get into her a bit more because
she gives everything.
She's
awesome.
Oh, she gives it her all. She's like Hocus full.
She could not give more in that movie.
Oh, she's heaven. She's why that movie is so successful. And it's not because of Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, Sarah sings, she's quite good at those as well.
Little
all three of them
children,
are good.
I'll take you away. Yeah, I love that movie. It's such a great one.
Someone needs to do a bloody dubstep remix of that song. I mean, no one needs to do a dubstep remix or anything. But like...
No more dubstep remixes, to be honest.
But I would love to hear that song come on in a club. Maybe at my gay club that I start one day.
Yeah, can't wait. It's all going to be just like redubbed movie music.
Yeah, it's going to be called Hocus Penis.
Hocus Penis is awful.
It's barely a pun.
It's just scraping on through, isn't it?
Really,
Hocus really Penis.
Hocus Penis. You guys haven't got a Hocus Penis this weekend? No.
And they're like, is that Hocus Penis or is it like hook us some penis? Or is that no, it's Hocus Penis. Oh, like penis. To make it rhyme, you have to say penis.
Hocus Penis.
Hey, so this week we wanted to talk about, well, let's start off with this Rainbow Youth campaign that's just blowing up online, which is so great.
You shout out to Rainbow Youth.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Rainbow Youth. I was actually just reading about them in Express Online today about how they're starting up a drop-up centre out of Auckland now. There's like, I think it's in Tauranga, I think.
Oh,
they're
awesome.
Doing like another kind of pop-ups, you know, drop-in centre, which is, imagine if they were like a national thing where there was like Rainbow Youth centres all around the country. That would be amazing.
That'd be very, very cool. Because it definitely, like, there was nothing like that in Christchurch, right? And I don't know what there is now. But probably a little bit more, but not what Rainbow Youth is, which is a centre you can drop into anytime. They go out to schools. I used to be an educator for them. They do a lot of cool work.
Yeah.
Well, and their biggest donation ever, I don't know if I've told you this little fact, it was from Tamati Coffee winning Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
I think it was like $250,000 or something.
I thought it may have been from Brian Tamaki when everyone started donating to Rainbow Youth in Brian Tamaki's name.
Yeah. Hey, international listeners, if you're listening and you're wondering what Rainbow Youth is, it's an Auckland-based organisation, charity that, does like lots of workshops, social youth groups and stuff for queer youth in Auckland, and they are pretty cool.
Yeah. So they've got this new campaign where they are online. All our like local listeners have definitely seen that, where it's like a couple of farmers, I don't know, milking some sheep? Giving milk to sheep. And
are they? Did you make that part up? I don't think anyone's milking a sheep in the ad.
No, because Sam Sneddon's holding a lamb.
He's not milking. He's probably doing that thing, which I have done, where you put a rubber band, you've got like a kind of a clasp, you hold it over the lamb's tail, and then you pull it back so the rubber band snaps so their tail falls off so they don't shit all over their tail. And when you do it...
Had a pet lamb.
Did she?
Yeah. And she called it Bunty because she didn't completely take its tail off by accident.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a little kind of bunt thing at the bottom where its tail was. And so they called it Bunty.
When you have to do this, their tails are just drenched in shit. Which is like, does that mean that what happens to wild ones? So they just keep shitting on it until it falls off?
It's so weird seeing lambs with tails, eh? You're like, what is that? That's not a real animal. Yeah. So anyway, the campaign is like a whole bunch of there's like three farmers just standing in like a God, I'm doing a bad job of describing this ad. Anyway, one farmer says the word gay in a derogatory sense. He's like, no, that's gay. And then the other farmer's like, hey mate, not gay, but it is disappointing that you used that word just then. And he kind of calls him on his shit, and it's fucking great. But one thing I did think when watching the ad was that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're still having this conversation.
Yeah.
And it made me realize how thick my little bubble is.
Yeah. I thought the same thing, because I don't know anyone that still uses this word unless they're like portraying a character. Like,
yes.
And I also thought that young people, because I used to do these workshops for Rainbow Youth where you'd go out and like literally most classes that I went to knew way more about gender and sexuality than I did.
Yes.
Like every student was like, yeah, I actually identify as pansexual. And I was like...
But maybe that's the point why it's like a whole bunch of farmers is it's trying to hit a sort of rural audience where maybe it's not, you know, in more metropolitan areas where you're surrounded by more diversity, you're having these conversations regularly, you're being challenged and you grow more. Whereas when you're, you know, isolated in like a farm, you know, you're not really having these rigorous conversations or being exposed to so much diversity. And so therefore you might be a few steps back on that old conversation.
Yeah, and just even if you're in an urban centre and just the workplaces and the places you frequent, just people don't call people on saying that. I think I've talked to some friends and they work in places where people just use that word, and people use words like retarded all the time. Can you believe the Black Eyed Peas had a song called Let's Get Retarded? Also,
I know.
Katy Perry had her first ever single was called You're So Gay. It went, you're so gay but you don't even like boys. Ugh.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I really don't like Katy Perry, to be honest.
I'm always optimistic about Katy Perry and she constantly lets me down.
But it made me think a lot about like the words that people use to like, I don't know, language is such an interesting thing. Like I feel like there's been a big movement about adopting the word queer, like it's I felt like it used to be a word that had a negative connotation to it. Yeah. But now all I think about is like, you know, the queer community, or, you know, you read articles about, you know, queerness.
Yeah.
And it feels like a really sort of positive word that sort of encapsulates a sort of wider, more fluid LGBTQIA community.
Well, it feels like the most inclusive word beyond, yes, LGBTQI, which people often forget one of the letters or whatever.
Yes.
So queer just feels like an all-encompassing term, which is a great thing, because we're so, I think a lot of the time we segregate ourselves into tiny little corners and nitpick and stuff, so to bring us all together for something is, yeah, is very positive.
Queer is fluid as hell, and I love that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was a word that they used to be like, oh, you're a bunch of queers, and now if someone called me a queer, I'd be like, yeah, I am, or, you know, like it's, yeah, sort of... And it's a word that we've sort of adopted more and taken way more ownership over.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Did you ever get called names, or like certain words when you were growing up?
I feel like I got called a poof. Into like a gay word that people use was probably that, or a girl.
There's that joke. What happened to the gay magician?
Yeah,
he disappeared with a puff, which, to be honest, is pretty funny. Like, I feel like if a gay person told me that joke, I'd laugh. But yeah, hearing it from straight people, it's the worst thing.
It used to feel like a very poisonous word to me, but now that that is more than saying that's gay, I think puff is like really kind of in the past. Like, no one uses it anymore, and also it doesn't seem to have as many negative connotations as like faggot, which is to do with burning gay people on a pile of sticks. Puff is such a silly word that nowadays...
I guess puffda is kind of worse.
Yeah, you're puffda.
I remember the first time someone called me gay.
Yeah.
It was at primary school. And this guy came up to me and I was about 10. And he's like, I just want you to know, me and the other guys think you're pretty gay. And I was 10. Which is like... Now when I say that, I'm like, that's pretty forth. Like, they could definitely read me, because they were bang on.
But also, like, most children are like very camp.
Yeah, they are. I must have been exceedingly camp for them to have read that as a 10-year-old. To be fair, I didn't play with any of the boys because they all wanted to play soccer and I wanted to play with the girls. But I remember going home to mum and being like, what does gay mean? Because someone just said that I am that. I can imagine mum just being like, here we go. Let's get used to it. Well, listen, you're going to get this a lot, mate.
At high school, we used to, me and my friends, which again was like a group of girls, and like all like smart people who are now like lawyers and scientists and stuff. And so we thought we were like smart people, but we used to use the word homosexual to mean negative in a way which for us was like, oh, we're being like post, like this is like post homophobia, because we thought by being like, that's homosexual, like my test results are homosexual, we were commenting on the fact that people used gay and like subverting it
isn't it?
Yeah, we were trying to do satire, but really to anyone who heard that is just like almost worse, because it's like
you're really just calling a spade there, aren't you?
Yeah.
What does that expression even mean? A spade, a spade.
No spade is a spade. Like, no one can really name anything for what it is. And words, you know, words are transient things which mean different things at different times. And we need to be respectful of them. I don't know if any of those thoughts I just said connected in any way. I'm trying to wrap it up, Chris, because I've got to drive to Rotorua today.
Oh, well, listen. We talked about a lot of things today, and we sort of skimmed on words at the very end. But listen, Rotorua ain't gonna tell jokes at Southie. Like, you got to get there, mate.
I got to drive all the way there, tell my jokes, and use my
free pass. Does Rotorua have a gay bar?
Oh, I'll find out. I guess it's Tamati Coffee's house.
Are you having dinner at his house?
I don't know. I hope he's coming to the gig. Tamati Coffee's a gay politician who just won his electorate for international listeners.
All right, well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. And it's so nice catching up with you, Eli.
It's bloody wonderful.
Which is basically what this podcast is while I'm on the road.
Yeah, exactly. It's like literally just when we catch up and other people have the pleasure, question mark, of listening to it.
Hey, shout out to all the fans as well in Christchurch who've come up to me and been like, listen to the podcast, because basically it wins me every time. So I'm like, I can't believe anyone's listening to this.
Oh,
you're legends. So
great. I'm coming to watch your show on Saturday night, Chris. I haven't booked yet, but I am coming and bringing my family.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm down in Christchurch next weekend, baby. Get ready, because Eli's a turk.
I'm going to start prepping, man. Boy, stoked out for the weekend.
Let's. Oh, no, I'll talk about the next episode. But thanks so much.
To Big Black.
It's a teaser to do with boys, to do with lads, to do with stag do's. You're going to love
it.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks, Big Pipe.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a face.